Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today, we're going to be talking about cloud-based software. Our guest is John Levin from StarMyQuantics. We're going to talk about what it means to operate in the cloud, what exactly is the cloud computing. I feel like people know about this, but don't maybe know enough.
And the world is changing a little bit, you know? What you thought was cloud, maybe not as cloud. Anyway, yeah.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit about the benefits of cloud computing, if there are any challenges out there, how some key industries are currently using cloud software. And then finally, we'll wrap up talking a little bit about the future of cloud computing.
Yeah, and this whole pandemic thing, right?
Exactly.
And how that's impacting, yeah.
Exactly. And as always, our recurring segments, Value to the VAR and What's Tech Connecting with Us, it is time to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
As I mentioned, our guest today is John Levin. He is the Director of Product Management for StarMyQuantics. John, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to your role at Star, and exactly what you do on a daily basis.
Sure. So I've been with Star for almost 14 years now, so it's been a little while. I'm responsible for our integration team, product team, and our support team. So very in touch with the technology, but also for maybe about 10 years of my history with Star, I've worked directly with our ISV partners very closely in different aspects. So I've gotten kind of a front row seat to how the technology's been changing and what's important to our ISVs.
Awesome.
And I noticed that you are a Purdue Boilermaker. Is that a true statement there, John?
I am a Boilermaker, majored in physics, believe it or not. So I don't know how that translated to printers, but here we are.
Well, we got a scientist on board here today.
I love how sometimes where we thought we were going, right? We were in our educational space, and where we ended up were two different things.
Yeah. So. I love Purdue. It's in the middle of nowhere, though. Would you not agree? Isn't it kind of in the middle of a cornfield? You're just driving down the road, and boop, there's Purdue.
I grew up in Michigan, so I would do that drive to Purdue all the time, and it was a lot of corn and windmills.
There you go. That doesn't have anything to do with cloud computing. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Good background.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about cloud computing, cloud-based software. You know, as we mentioned up top, it's something that's continuously growing. Almost everybody's using it in some way. And I think most people, when they think about it, they think about the very basics of, you know, let's say you have an Apple product, for instance, or even sign up for a lot of other technology products. There's a lot of products today that come with some cloud computing options.
Right.
You know, if you have an iPhone or iPad, you get, 5 gigs of iCloud's, you know, service for free that you can use, and you can upgrade and get more if you want. I think most people think of it as just, you know, it's just this nebulous place, you know, literally nebulous place where I can just store stuff, right? Like, it's just a place where I can go throw things and store them if I need it and drag it down without having to use a physical space. But there's a lot more to it than that. And John, that's where I kind of want to start with you to kind of tell us a little bit about the basics of cloud computing. Maybe three major questions here is, you know, why use cloud computing? Like, why is it a thing? How does it, you know, work on a basic level? And where does the industry stand right now on all things cloud?
Yeah, I mean, at its very simplest level, cloud computing is taking, in kind of our world, taking all that information, everything that's happening, that software, the heart of the store experience from on-premise in the store and taking it out of the store to a central location, right? So the traditional software world of retail or hospitality environments, maybe if you're lucky, there's a server in the store or everything's running on local machines. So it makes it very, very hard to share information about the customer, about what's happening inside the store, to a central location, a head office, corporate office, or other stores. You can't track the customer through their journey. So it was a very closed experience. So cloud really is taking that information, putting it in a central place so everyone can access it in you know, multiple solutions, entities can access and make value out of that information. You know, it's It's funny, you know, I mentioned I've been working with our ISV partners for close to a decade now. I started doing this right as kind of the iPad was coming out. So everything, you go to VarTech and all the panels were on MPOS and mobile, and that was the big buzzword of the day. It's important, of course, it's still important, but I think really the big revolution in the past decade plus in our industry and of course the world has been cloud. And I think, you know, even going back to mobile, cloud is really what enabled that, right? So everything in a store, all those screens, tablets, PCs, kiosks, whatever, you know, whatever it might be, end up just kind of being digital touch points that all feed back to that central cloud. And that's really what the modern store environment has kind of turned into.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the why, you know, that was the first question there. Why a move to the cloud? You know, it had its reasons 10, 15 years ago, but even now, more amplified in the world that we're in, quite frankly, today. And the need to share information, to have access to information. And John, I liked where you're going, you know, on the basics. Of course, most of us remember an on-premise world, right? Everything's on-premise, and it creates these little, you know, areas where it's really hard to get the information. The complete other end of that is everything's in the cloud, complete software as a service. But I, you know, obviously there's been some hybrids that have been developed a little bit here too as well. Infrastructure as a service or platform as a service, where you take, you know, for example, infrastructure as a service, you're just taking components of, now I'm talking the total business applications. You know, you're taking the applications, the data, maybe the operating system, that is the infrastructure, and you're putting that into the cloud on a platform as the service. Maybe your applications and your data is only the stuff that's going to a cloud. So we're seeing some slicing and dicing, right, of that SaaS acronym a little bit as it matures, as the cloud, I guess, matures. Would you agree, John?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, at the end of the day, Amazon and all these e-commerce guys have had the benefit of having their whole world exist in the cloud. And that's very easy to share data around and track the customer journey and all of that. But when you try and bring that down into the brick and mortar world, which is kind of our world, it's not as easy, right? There are physical things in the real world. So, you know, I think you're right, kind of bridging that journey of adapting the physical environment to the cloud is kind of the name of the game.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when we talk about this. I think back to my retail days, which was late 90s, mid 2000s or so that I worked in retail. And I remember, you know, we had what was essentially like a DOS system practically.
Oh,
running.
The big old mainframe, yeah, working exactly. In the background, right?
And I just remember, like, we could check our data throughout the day. Like, I could keep an eye on sales throughout the day or keep an eye on inventory levels. That stuff would update as you would go through the day. But yeah, there was no way for anyone at the district level or a corporate level to have any idea what we were doing until either the end of day when everything processed, or if you made some point to stop in the middle of your day and basically make your system unavailable so that you could go, you know, send some information back and come back. I remember every once in a while, like, there'd be like a situation where, like, hey, we're keeping an eye on sales today for a particular reason. We want you every 2 to 3 hours or whatever to upload your sales information. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you could still, you know, you could still check people out, but your mainframe was shut down for that period of time. So if someone came in asking for something, you couldn't look anything up. You couldn't get data. It'd be like, oh, sorry, give us maybe 10 minutes while we get this, you know, this transaction process. That's the kind of stuff where, like, man, I wish this world now had existed then, that ease of information. And if you think about, like, you know, a high volume, like, inventory item that maybe suddenly starts selling through that day. Like, I worked in a bookstore, for instance, and whenever Oprah would announce her new book club pick, people would just come racing in to buy it up. You know, inventory, if you had any inventory, would be out in a flash, and you weren't going to get any more for at least another several days while everyone suddenly compensated and rushed out to get new product out there.
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff where, you know, you could maybe make some quicker decisions same day by having, you know, having this information that's immediately going to a cloud, immediately going to folks in in the inventory space, in the corporate office, someone who can keep track of this stuff as it's happening in real time.
Yeah, the people that need to know. And I was reading one of the articles in the lead up to this podcast. When you're looking at cloud computing trends and hospitality, one of the things that they do talk about is the union between development, and I'll call that software development, and operational teams. You know, there's really some significance happening there as cloud computing continues to advance. And that's it's just going to continue to happen where you have, okay, you have people boots on the ground. That's the operations team. You know, they're back of house, they're front of house as well. They know what's going on at the store level. But you also have the developers trying to tie in all the information. There's just more and more of that bridging that's going to happen. And I think that, you know, obviously the cloud brings a lot of pros to that equation and being able to share information, be able to do computing at a macro level that you can do in the cloud that you might not be able to do on-prem, or let's put it this way, not cost-effectively do on-prem. So some of that revolution that's happening. But anyway, yeah.
Definitely. Well, John, I kind of want to ask you real quick. I feel like we've already kind of touched on a lot of the benefits of using the cloud. Are there any challenges that are out there right now as we continue to develop this technology? I know one that I always tend to hear a lot about is security. And that's probably more from a personal perspective. People always wonder, like, well, where is my information really going? Is that security a concern in, you know, retail, hospitality, food service space as well when it comes to this? Or what other challenges are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I could think of a few. Certainly security is top of mind for a lot of people, right? But if you think about it, in a lot of ways, I think cloud is a lot more secure. Yes, all of your data is somewhere else in some nebulous cloud, right? Somebody else's server, you lose control. So naturally, people might be a little fearful that I don't have control, so therefore I'm less secure. But when you think about it, and back in that on-premise world that we used to live in, all the data was spread around different stores, different locations, different partners. You really lost control of it then, right? You had, you know, people were running different versions of software, different versions of Windows. So, you know, the fact is that in the old world, there were a lot more you know, potential vectors for security breaches and things like that. And kind of in this cloud-based world, really everything security can be controlled centrally. And that's, I think, really when done right is a much more secure way to do it. You know, kind of coming back to Star's world, right? We make retail hardware. So one big challenge of this move to cloud is, you know, everything, it's great. If all you had in every store was a bunch of screens, right? If everything was iPads, and everything was software driven, then everything would be very easy to manage. But in the real world, you go into a store, there's stuff, there's printers and cash drawers and retail equipment, a lot of it. And bridging that equipment, which is often very legacy kind of equipment, legacy connectivity, bridging that into the cloud world can be a challenge. I think another big challenge to the ubiquity of cloud is connectivity. You know, we talk a lot about it with our software partners, you know, especially in hospitality and things like places like that, where they're not used to that always connected, always on world. You know, it's, you know, we take it for granted that a store is always going to have an internet connection. But in a lot of places in the country or the world, that is not necessarily the case, that it's going to be, that they're going to have one at all, or that it's always going to be consistent. So if you have a completely cloud-based solution, it, you know, it can be a challenge when you don't have constant connectivity. So software solutions have developed a lot of kind of hybrid mode, as you mentioned, Dean, solutions where they have some offline mode and things like that. And that's great. And that's kind of that, you know, the world as it sits today, that's what's enabled us to have, make great use of all this cloud technology in the retail and hospitality world. But for it to really, really cross over, I think, you know, we kind of had to solve that connectivity problem. So I think there's going to be a tipping point. Maybe it's 5G cellular is going to be that tipping point where at least in the Americas, you'll have, you know, much more reliable internet connection. You can kind of trust that that store is going to be connected to really enable a real-time cloud environment. So even in the offline world, right, or in an offline mode per se, it's hard to have that access to data and have actionable things you can do in the store, have access to that customer's history if you have a blip in your internet connection, right? So to really take advantage of cloud, you have to have a very reliable connection.
You certainly do. And so we're seeing some transformation on that side. And, you know, as a distributor, we are seeing more inquiries into what I would call like edge computing. And I don't know, John, I'd like to get your thoughts on this because I don't know the networking world really well, but I do know that there's a lot of, you know, again, quote unquote, edge computing solutions that are being implemented. So and to my mind, that enables computing power, you know, at the store level to conduct maybe what I'll call, you know, on-prem or offline mode, so that things can still occur, you know, even when there's no connectivity. And I think edge computing plays into that. And so that once connectivity comes back up, oh, okay, here's all the information that needed to be sent or whatever, you know, the business can still be conducted. Yes, on the connectivity side, we're seeing a significant amount of interest in failover, right? One of the very first marketing programs campaigns you were involved in, John, was one of the failover ones we had for another manufacturer, Cradlepoint, that we have. You know, so it's just this need in the marketplace to have, okay, I think John's point is very well taken. So connectivity, yeah, we think it's going to happen through our traditional means 100% of the time, but that doesn't happen. So we've got this failover on cellular. Yeah, I hear you, 5G might get there as well. Of course, once you get out of the cities and into more rural, it gets a little bit gummier out there. But to me, it's this blend of connectivity, edge computing, and really starting to see some unique solutions, you know, more holistic solutions start to address those needs.
Yeah. I think, you know, we talked about in our remote work podcast, this whole idea of connectivity and everyone having access to the internet. And I imagine that the COVID crisis and a lot of these retailers and restaurants, they had to suddenly shift gears and shift their model and incorporate technology that they weren't previously using in order, if they wanted to stay open and adapt and survive, they probably ran up against those issues as well. They probably found themselves like, hey, I know I need to get into cloud-based software because it's going to make it easier for me to do online ordering or pickup, you know, or curbside delivery or something like that. But now I've suddenly got this issue where I'm in a space that doesn't have the connectivity that it should. We've got very slow, you know, Wi-Fi here. We never had to mess with that before.
Right.
And now suddenly we're taking on this new technology, but we don't have that back end piece to facilitate too. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a much broader conversation there about giving the access and the connectivity that businesses and people need in order to, you know, step up a level and move to all these new technologies that are taking over. Well, John, I kind of wanted to shift a little bit and talk a little bit about some specific industry impacts. We've kind of touched on a little bit of this already. And obviously, I know Star plays a lot in retail, hospitality, food service. So tell us a little bit about where you feel like cloud computing and cloud software has really impacted, maybe, you know, let's say in the last 5 to 10 years or so, these particular industries. Like, where have you seen the major changes? How are these industries using cloud technology right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, retail, for example, I think a really great trend that I've observed with our software partners is this kind of concept of bringing that Amazon experience or that e-com experience down into the brick and mortar world. But more specifically, you know, Star, we work with a lot of the SMB market. So not just bringing that into the brick and mortar world, but bringing it into the SMB world. So a lot of the software partners that we work with are using cloud technology to kind of almost democratize a lot of this technology. So small businesses can use it too. You know, they can have access to customer information, real-time customer information, so they can make, you know, smart decisions when they're talking to a customer on the shop floor. You know, they're able to kind of combine that information that's happening on their you know, maybe little e-commerce world for that one or, you know, two store location, and merging that with what's happening in the store. So you know, the story of cloud in our world has kind of been a story of data and open APIs. So the ability for all these software solutions, whether they're from the same vendor or not, to talk to each other, right? So that's something that in the old world, if it was happening on premise, it was happening at, you know, big chain retailers and things like that. But the cloud has really democratized that and brought that down into the SMB space, which I think is it's huge. I think that, you know, that has really kept the SMB space very relevant. And as you see a lot of big chains struggling before COVID-19, but certainly now as stores have closed their doors, I think there's going to be kind of a reemergence of that SMB space. So any technology that's enabling them is huge.
I couldn't agree more, and I like to kind of zoom in a little bit on a component of what you had there, John, in talking about, you know, we love the SMB market at Blue Star. We've made a business with Star on addressing specifically the small to medium-sized businesses out there, end users for us, critical to the economy moving forward. And that group needs to remain nimble and flexible. They have to be very nimble in this pandemic and very flexible in their workflows. Really, cloud computing brings some benefits on that front. And where he was going with, you know, you kind of need to know, and when you're picking who you're putting your horse, you know, with, if you will, or your cart behind, you really need to pick those folks that have such things as open APIs, where you can connect the dots and have some, because you're going to create a fabric of solutions, you know, at the end of the road. You know, Star is a component in this regard in the hardware and their ability to have open APIs that can connect to other analytics, data mining, those types of things, going to be critical for the small to medium-sized businesses so that they can improve their customer experience and compete in the marketplace in a way that some of these tier one retailers and hospitality entities are doing it. So the flexibility, the nimbleness, you know, when you're picking, again, who you're going with, got to be sensitive to those types of things and keep an eye on open API.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. John, any other interesting industry usages and topics that you haven't really, you know, that we don't typically think of or expect when it comes to cloud computing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in restaurants, right? So at least in our country, the whole hospitality, the restaurant industry is very, very slow to move, very slow to adopt new technology. So it's been kind of interesting for me to watch, especially as we go through this pandemic, and so many businesses, especially restaurants, have had to change how they operate. It's really interesting to me to see what kinds of things that haven't necessarily been limited by technology before, but have been more cultural things. Our culture of table service in the US, right? It's been, I've seen so many applications throughout my career at Star of software solutions wanting to change how what the restaurant experience is, and you just don't see it take off, right? So things like order at the table, pay at the table, things like that. I think maybe COVID-19 can kind of be a catalyst for that. So it's all kind of cloud technology, right? But it's interesting to see how the kind of cultural things happening are a little slower to overcome with technology, but that seems to be accelerating now. So really, I think that you know, the restaurant, QSR, and fine dining industries are going to be quite different when all this is over. And you're going to see a lot more of that cloud, whether it's, you know, obviously bookings has been, that's kind of ubiquitous cloud technology in restaurants now, online ordering, the table service side of it, the inventory management side of it. I think that's going to be accelerated. And I think those things are going to be kind of merging. So I think, you know, it's interesting to look at restaurants and how ubiquitous online ordering was even before COVID-19, but especially now how critical and you know, existential it is for restaurants. It'll be interesting to see how that happened, you know, is online ordering kind of the future point of sale for restaurants. We just saw a press release just this week from Uber Eats, who are now giving you the ability to order at your table using Uber Eats on premise at a restaurant. So it'll be interesting to see how those types of very, very cloud-centric solutions work their way more and more and more into the on-premise side of dining.
Boy, John, you touched on some pet peeves of mine, and I think we've kind of touched on these in some other episodes before, which is like when I go into a restaurant or in a retail environment and the technology that I want to use and that I'm comfortable with is not there. Like, it's one thing, you know, to offer it, and if some people use it and some people don't, fine, but when you're not offering it at all, like, you know, I'm a big fan of mobile payments, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to use Apple Pay where I can, although that's become exceedingly difficult now in the pandemic when you're wearing a mask and you're trying to use Face ID.
Right.
And like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to be that person that pulls off my mask just to pay for something, but then I'm pulling out my credit card and that's an issue too. But you know, we won't get into that.
Right.
But, you know, you're right there. Like, the, you know, when I would go to restaurants, like my wife and I always would complain about this, of like the time it would take before a server would come back to you to get your order, or the time it would take to get your check, you know, when maybe you're heading out to go to a movie, or it's, you want to get home to, you know, to relieve the babysitter or something, and you've got to wait because it's super busy, and you got to wait until the check comes to you, and then you put your credit card down, and if you're lucky, then another 5-10 minutes passes before they pick it up, and another few minutes before you get it back again. All that is the stuff that I feel like, man, you know, with this technology now, like, and I feel like there's a lot of these restaurants and quick service facilities that have had to make that shift. And hopefully this is something that's going to be for the better. People are going to say, man, that's convenient. I love having this convenience. And on the other end of this, when we all are, you know, able to routinely go back to restaurants and don't have to be as scared or concerned or cautious about it anymore, hopefully everyone's still saying, hey, I still like that. Like, I still want to be able to order from my table and have minimal interaction. Don't take that away. That still needs to be part of the experience at this point.
Yeah. And which clearly it will be. You know, when you think about how the workflows have shifted in the restaurant environment, that's not going away. You know, the ability for some people to, we've talked about the benefits of the restaurant establishment to begin with. You know, they want to turn tables as quickly as they possibly can. So, it keeps coming back to that phrase, customer experience, right? I mean, there's so much around, so much premium being put on the customer experience, and that makes sense because, look, you know, coming out of a pandemic, you want to have, there's a premium on the customer experience. It was starting to get there before the pandemic, and I know that we've talked about millennials and Gen Zs, and you know, they're more the experience generation, and they're willing to invest a little bit more in those types of experiences. But restaurants are going to have to shift to that. You know, they're going to have to realize that, and I know that this is a little detraction from cloud computing, but cloud computing can enable some of that, some of those things to occur, as we've talked about, at the table and things like that. Another component, I think, of that is the data, though. It's the data behind it that is going to be opening up to these restaurant owners that they didn't have access to before. Now they're going to have more data, more analytics, so that they can make business decisions to make small adjustments to their restaurant in a way. Maybe it's the type of food or things of that nature that come along the way. The last thing I'll throw on the table that I think is really intriguing when you think about cloud computing and the use of cloud is the acronym IoT. You know, it is applicable in hospitality. It's applicable in retail. It's this idea of, you know, you're connecting so much. It's the back of house inventory. John, you already mentioned it earlier, right? It's the back of house, it's the front of house, it's getting all that connected. And the more connected everything is in an IoT world, the more you're going to need some type of cloud to do that. I don't, you know, it just seems intuitive to me.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one other quick thing I wanted to touch on was, this probably isn't particularly your field, John, is healthcare. You know, when I was doing my research about cloud computing and where it's making an impact, you know, in the IT reseller channel with a lot of our VARs, healthcare was another interesting one that came up. And it's one that probably people don't think about as much, but there's a lot of security aspects there. We're always concerned about patient information.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, healthcare is always built around the idea of keeping information as secure as possible. And, you know, we've kind of established already that cloud computing is a great way to do that because it's a centralized location where you have everything can be managed.
I can't imagine being an IT manager of an old healthcare hospital or something like that. Can you, John? I mean, you've got all these computers out there throughout the hospital, throughout the health network, and trying to secure all. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah. I mean, cloud just seems like such a no-brainer. If you have the secure connection between, obviously, the device and the cloud.
Yep.
Then you should be good to go, right?
Yeah.
And it's a much better world.
Exactly. And that's going to start impacting costs then too, because it's, you know, ultimately, you know, the startup cost to get into cloud might seem daunting, but once you're there, the savings over having to maintain mainframes, you know, or like local storage has to be monumental over time. So I think that's going to be a big consideration for healthcare. The analytics side of things, you know, there's analytics is becoming a huge part of healthcare, being able to accurately figure out like, where are you going to need to have care? What's going to bring, you know, people in or out? How do you get ahead of people's care? You know, and have care plans set up for them so that they're not routinely having to go to the hospital and you can get ahead of things. That kind of analytics is the kind of stuff that you can store in the cloud. And then the collaboration aspect too was a big piece of what I read about that, you know, when you're able to have cloud, you know, storage and have all the information about a patient in a centralized location that anyone can tap into from around the country. It makes it so much easier for caregivers, you know, to find out the information they need. I mean, if you think about the whole patient record situation, which is still an ongoing, you know, effort to figure out, like, how do we make it as easy as possible for someone's health records
to follow them?
To follow them from patient from doctor.
It seems
so
innocent, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's not.
But it really isn't. And, and cloud computing feels like to me that's going to be a very simple way. It's just a matter of getting everybody into the same systems and talking to each other.
Yes, exactly. Or some type of standardization around how that information goes around. That's
exactly. Well, John, before we dive into the future of cloud computing, I want you to talk a little bit about what STAR's doing around cloud computing. You know, I know that you have, you know, some services around printing related to the cloud that people might not necessarily think about as a cloud service. So tell us a little bit about where STAR fits into the cloud picture.
Sure. You know, it's been interesting. I kind of watched that change throughout our ISVs in the last half decade. Just the amount that are cloud-based now. So we've kind of seen it firsthand, right? And at the end of the day, we're really focused on taking that physical world, the physical hardware in the store, whether it's printers, cashiers, scales, what have you, and bridging that into our ISV's cloud world. So that's that challenge, right? So we spend a lot of our time, and I spend a lot of my time consulting with our ISVs on, okay, how do I take your specific situation? Because cloud is, it's a nice buzzword, but it's kind of varied in how that gets implemented, right? Cloud can be a web-based solution that's running in the browser. It could be a native application, can be IoT, can be a lot of things, right? So what that actually looks like at the store level really varies. So we spend a lot of our time consulting with ISVs and with customers to see, okay, what is the right implementation for the physical hardware aspect to really work seamlessly with your cloud implementation. So we've, you know, the name of the game for us has kind of been a bit flexibility, right? So we have to be able to match however that software application wants to operate. So we've implemented a lot of and released a lot of various cloud-based technologies. I've been really surprised at the push, you know, Dean, you talked about IoT, right? Really surprised at the push from a lot of our retail customers, usually the chains and a little bit bigger kind of enterprise type customers. But for a truly IoT environment, not just the tablets and what have you, but all of the hardware. They don't want talking locally. They want just talking right from their cloud and controlled right from their cloud server centrally and managed from there. So, you know, we released printing technologies like CloudPrint that allows you to just drive print jobs right from your cloud to the printer instead of from a local device. So that's a very obvious cloud-centric solution. But really, we've added a lot of value to our printers for anybody, whether it's a more legacy kind of on-premise solution, cloud solutions, what have you. But by connecting the printers to the clouds, we can add extra services like pushing down some sort of promotion that's going to print at the end of each print job from the cloud that you can design in the cloud to, you know, add a coupon or get people over to your Facebook page as a business or something like that. So for us, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. It's adapting our hardware to our software partners' cloud world and making sure everything works seamlessly, but also using cloud to add additional value into our hardware for everybody.
Brilliant. And I have to give Star kudos here because I think their strategy as it relates to ISVs has been just knockout over the last decade or so. They were so in front of getting in front of software development companies and being on that leading edge of when stuff started to shift a little bit and you went around away from the big units and mobile MPOS started coming around. I mean, Star was right there on the edge interacting, and I would advocate the strategy that Star took in the early days and continues to this day, even for at the reseller level. I mean, they were engaged with the software development companies. They were flexible. John's hit on it already. They were flexible to design around however the hardware and needed to marry up with the software. These are really good principles. And when you think about it as a reseller, you kind of need the same thing, right? You're going out, you're evaluating software development companies. They need to fit into your world, just like Star was evaluating these software development companies for their world and who were they were going to get behind and who were they were going to put resources behind and stuff like that, because that marriage has to happen. But I love where you ended there, John, is that there's a symbiosis, I guess, between not only the hardware guys and what they're bringing in, but what the cloud can bring to the equation too. And understanding that and mining that is really key for a reseller as well. You got to understand what's all happening in this ecosystem. That's the word that I'll use. You know, it creates an ecosystem between the hardware, the software, the reseller. If everybody's kind of humming along there and understanding what the processes can do, what the applications can do, what the systems can do, man, good things happen along the way in regard. So it's a strong strategy to know who your software vendors are and engage with them, right?
Yeah, yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and I we've kind of hammered on this many, many times before, but the whole idea of a value-added reseller,
right,
is that you're doing more than just trying to sell a printer or a POS system. Mm-hmm. Like, you are coming in with solution offerings that represent a bigger picture, you know, mm-hmm, than just, okay, I got this thingamajig, because everyone's got that thingamajig.
Yeah.
You can go on Amazon and find that thingamajig.
Right.
But, you know, if your role as a value-add reseller is to provide that additional value and bring someone, you know, to you as a recurring customer and someone that's trusting you and trusting their business to you, basically, yeah, you've got to be in tune with the software, mm-hmm, you've got to be in tune with the technology, you've got to have a team of people that are ready to go in and assist, no matter how big or small the project is.
No doubt about it. And I would also, I'm going to throw back in there that flexibility, because you want to pick partners that have the flexibility to do those types of things. I mean, again, I'll go back to Star. I know we got John here, but continue to give you guys some kudos, because not only from the software are they engaged on that front, but they're also engaged on other hardware manufacturers, like Elo, you know, complementary type of manufacturers out there, that it's a win-win situation when we come up with a solution like the Wallaby or something along those lines, where it's a standalone kiosk, it's got a Star printer, it's got the Elo all-in-one computer. I mean, these are great solutions that go out into the marketplace by manufacturers who are flexible when it comes to designing solutions at the end of the road. And mm-hmm, and that's key, because, you know, as a reseller, you want those types of partners that are going to, you know, come to the table with some flexibility, but also nice, solid solutions. That's what you're getting.
Definitely. Well, I want to wrap up this conversation with a little bit of discussion about the future of cloud computing. And there was an article I came across while I was, you know, researching this from the Ritz Herald, which talked about, you know, some of the future potential applications. And there was an interesting statistic they threw out there, okay, which was cloud data centers are projected to process 94% of business workloads by 2021.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's just next year.
And I'm like, what? what is going on? Yeah, that's like, a lot.
That's amazing to think that we're already that far along in this just by next year. And I'm sure, like, you know, the high volume of some businesses that are out there, you know, the Microsofts and the Amazon Web Services of the world that are already deeply embedded in cloud and touch upon so much other information that businesses all across the world use, makes sense why that number would be pretty high. But still, that was higher than I expected to see. So the article mentioned a couple of different specific and interesting future of cloud computing scenarios, and a couple I want to touch on before I let John kind of talk about, you know, specifically in his world, what he's seeing the future is. The idea of ubiquitous computing.
Okay.
And we've kind of already touched on this, that everything at some point will be computing in some way in the future. It's IoT, basically.
Yeah.
What we talk about when we talk about IoT. The idea that every little thing has some connection to the internet and probably some kind of connection to the cloud. And that's only going to continue further and further.
But you're saying ubiquitous computing in the sense that there's even computing power. I guess I'll go back to where I was on the edge. You know, these little devices still have the ability to do some, even if it's basic computation, it can do it.
So that I thought was kind of interesting. Democratized education was another thing they talk about. The idea, and again, how super relevant is that right now, that everyone has access to education, you know, no matter where they are and in what scenario they're in, everybody has access to the same quality of education by being able to tap into the cloud. And that also then can spread around the world. We're not just talking about here in the U.S., but, you know, when you get into developing countries that are trying to develop educational programs, having cloud-based solutions can make it a lot easier to get educational resources to them without having to send people on hand all the time.
Right.
And then finally, the idea of digital nomads, which again touches on the remote work podcast that we did.
Digital nomads.
Right.
What's
so
this?
It's basically meaning that, like, because of who you are and what you do and your job being able to tap into the cloud and your resources from the cloud, that you can do your job from anywhere. You can be a nomad.
Oh, I see.
You don't have to be confined to one place. You don't have to be confined to one area. You can be on the other side of the country. You can move around, you know, like you could be traveling Europe and still working day to day in your job, as long as you're able to have that connectivity to some cloud-based resources. That was some stuff I thought was pretty cool. John, what about you? You know, what's the future of cloud computing that you're seeing? Like, what are you hearing about that's coming on the horizon?
You know, I think a lot of it's going to be that that separation a bit from the digital experience and the brick-and-mortar world. That brick-and-mortar world is going to be kind of just one arm of the whole customer experience for a store or a brand. So I think the focus will shift more to the shopper, and whether it's on their phone, on their computer, their web, whatever it is in store, the future of the cloud is a very consumer centric future, whether it's on social media or what have you. So I think, you know, we talked about that, you know, use of technology in store and everything. And it's a very fine line of, you know, bridging that real tangible experience of being in a restaurant or being in a store and that digital experience. So I think the future of the cloud is really a navigation of that line between the digital world and the physical world, and making sure that cloud-centric digital world is adding to the real world experience and not necessarily replacing it or being too cumbersome within it. And I think that's kind of the place we are right now, right? We're trying to figure that out in a lot of markets. Some have figured it out better than others. Some, maybe restaurants are a little bit behind. So I think the future is that we're going to better navigate that. Really, the cloud is all around us, right? No one has any idea how much it impacts their daily lives on everything they do. And the fact that we don't necessarily think about it, we don't know, is actually really good, right? The best technology is invisible technology that you don't even realize that you're using. So I think that's the future, especially the brick and mortar experiences. It'll be just secondhand to engage with it digitally at the same time that you're engaging physically. And you don't really think about, oh, is this cloud or what app am I using or what technology? It's just kind of seamless and natural. So I think really that'll end up being the future.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the future as it relates to customer experience, I guess, right? That's what I would go back to. As long as it has a relevance to the customer experience and how that is whole interaction is interplaying, cloud will have a benefit to that or a place.
I agree. I think I always feel like the best technology is the technology that you don't necessarily see happening.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
When you don't really think about like it's just happening around you and you're not, it's not even really occurring to you. That's to me is the coolest aspect of great technology.
Yep.
Well, John, I want to thank you so very much for this conversation. Before we move on to our final segments, I want to thank our founding members, of which Star is one. Thank you so much. We appreciate Star's support in making this podcast happen.
Yep.
I want to let our listeners know that if you want to reach out to us, you can get to us by Twitter at TechConnectPod. You can email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. And hey, if you like the show, please go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to get some more traction and more attention by that.
And ask us a question along the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Ask us a question.
Give us some questions.
We will be happy challenge to answer those on air. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and challenge us with a question so we can read them on air.
There you go. I like that. So, all right. The first of our recurring segments, as always, is Value to the VAR. This is where we kind of wrap up the conversation we've had to talk a little directly to our VAR audience about this particular topic. John, the question that I had today is, how do VARs benefit from selling cloud-based software?
Sure. I think one of the big benefits is, we talked about earlier, open APIs, the fact that cloud has kind of introduced an ecosystem. So you're not just selling a point of sale application. You now have access to a whole other host of applications, whether it's accounting or loyalty, what have you, that tie in very seamlessly to that point of sale application through those open APIs. So that introduces a whole host of applications that are relevant to that particular customer that a VAR can sell very easily and be very confident that they're going to work well together. And then you think about things that beyond just the software world, but we talked about connectivity, right? So to make it all work really well, that customer better have a really top-notch network and good internet access, redundant backup, all of that. And that's something that especially small businesses, they just have no idea how to implement. So a VAR can really help on that aspect.
Yeah, and I think, kind of adding on to that a little bit, when you think about resellers and trying to get into the cloud space, I think that all of them have to be in it to a certain degree today. But here are some key things in my mind that really should, seal the deal, if you will, from a reseller aspect. Business agility. The cloud gives them and their end users a lot more agility when it comes to being able to devise solutions or react to the day-to-days of the business. We've talked about how connectivity into the analytics, into the data, into the infrastructure, to the ecosystem that comes along with the cloud, it's there and it allows a lot more agility. It's a lower expense. The second thing is it's a reduced amount of expense, not only for the reseller, by the way, because they hopefully are operating some of their operations in the cloud, but obviously for the end user too. There's just a lower investment. Maybe, I know where you were going initially. Maybe some of the cloud investment was heavy, maybe earlier on, but I think that there, the scales of justice on that side have kind of evened out, and it's not as difficult to get into the cloud today. Scalability, as we talked about, I know resellers are looking for those types of customers that it's the one here, but maybe this one will grow into multiple ones. And if they do, can I be the reseller that supports that? Cloud gives you scalability. It's an end solution that gives you that kind of scalability through, being able to, again, access the information anywhere. So some clear benefits there of selling cloud services over traditional ones.
Right. You mentioned early in the podcast about Star's relationship with ISVs and building out that network. And it reminded me of a campaign, a content marketing campaign we did early in the year with a POS provider that was aimed at pet groomers. But they weren't just a standard. It wasn't just POS. It was also a CRM aspect built into it as well.
Yep.
And it turned out to be a fairly successful campaign. We just went out and did an e-blast to a pet business, email service and got a lot of good leads out of that. And it occurred to me like, man, there's a market here for this because these are people that, they know they need a POS of some sort, but they're also still operating. And I've seen it when I've taken my dog to the groomer. A lot of them are still operating their business on note cards, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. they're jotting down what cut you get, what your name yep. are with a phone number, what they should and shouldn't do with your dog on note cards and filing them away in these, you know, old tins or whatever.
Yeah.
And every time I'd see it, I'd be like, man, that's just
the
antiquated.
Dewey Decimal System. What is going on here?
Exactly.
Right?
So, you know, I appreciated that this particular system, I should have went over to them and say, hey, you guys need to jump in on this. It, you know, was offering that back end CRM where they could manage all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, online, and it was cloud-based software. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it was, so let's say there was an owner that owned 5 or 6, you know, pet grooming salons in a certain area or something, they could have access to all that information, mm-hmm. access to inventory control. You could do promotions. You could keep
it. It has some ERP in it too.
Exactly.
It's the whole thing. Right.
Yeah. It was everything kind of all in one solution. So to me, that was something I thought of, like, this isn't exactly a reason why a VAR exists mm-hmm. and why you want to be involved in cloud-based computing and working with these software companies, because mm-hmm. that's something that you can walk in there and say, hey, I understand your business, like, you know, what mm-hmm. you're doing here right now. You're probably doing everything on the phone. You're not able to do online booking. Let me introduce you to a partner of ours who not only can upgrade your POS system, but can literally upgrade your entire business
right.
all in one fell swoop
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and that takes me to an angle that, you know, resellers, when you start dipping your toe into cloud services, and if you're not there all in, let's just put it that way, just yet, and perhaps some people already know this, I'm just going to use the phrase, know your cloud. So if you are getting into there, you're going to get asked questions by the end user. Okay, what's the downtime? You know, what happens if there's downtime on connectivity? What does the tech support look like on this particular solution? You got to know that. You got to know those answers before you're walking into the door, because the better you know those answers, the more complete you are with the solution that you're offering and knowing exactly what those landmines might be in this particular case. You know, if they're worried about what does the downtime look like if the connectivity goes out. Anyway, know your cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you're putting your cart behind, if you will, know your cloud at the end of the day.
Definitely.
At the end of the day.
Yep. Hard agreed. So we're going to wrap up today with our favorite segment, What's Tech Connecting With You? This is where we get to chat a little bit about some kind of cool piece of technology or service or just interesting topic that's caught our attention in the tech world lately.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to have anything to do with what we've talked about. So it can be just something fun. So let's have some fun with this. John, I'll let you kick it off. What is Tech Connecting With You right now?
Sure. It's a little bit related to what we're talking about, but I think augmented reality is something that's got my attention. That's something that's very early now. Right now, it feels a little bit gimmicky even, but I think it has tremendous potential. We talked about making that store experience, bridging that kind of digital and physical divide. I think augmented reality can have a piece to play in that and make for a pretty interesting physical store experience.
Definitely.
I agree with you there. We've gotten into a little AR here at Blue Star. Actually, Mark Ryan, has helped us get into augmented reality too. We've used it. We've used it mm-hmm. at trade shows and things like that, where we have, you know, the code and then ask people to put download a viewer so that they could have an augmented experience. Definitely going to be the case in retail. You see it in warehouse, in transportation logistics types of applications. AR is very cool. It is very interesting to see how this is kind of manifesting itself out in the world too. I don't know. What do you think, John? Are we all gonna have Google Glass? Or, you know, I know that a couple manufacturers are coming up with that. Is that gonna be the world, or what does it look like to you?
You know, I guess it'll be a bit of a staged thing. You know, we have our phones, we have Google Glass in the form of our phones in front of us. It seems like 24/7 now, so I think almost you don't need to have glasses or any other kind of device. You've already got a screen in front of your face all the time. So I think that there's a lot of legs with that, but it's interesting to think about having that feeding directly into your head at all times.
I always think about, I think it's fun when these technologies get their start in not unexpected ways. Like, I feel like gaming has been on top of AR.
Oh, right.
Long before.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go. Remember when that was the thing?
Yes.
Everybody was walking around all
day
long.
Was that 20 years ago?
It feels like it. Yeah, it wasn't, but it feels like it. Like, everyone's walking around with their phone in their hand. And, like, it's, you know, you see the environment you're in, but you're seeing, like, Pokemons bouncing around that you got to fight and everything. And, like, that's the kind of, which I was never into that. Probably because I'm not into Pokemon, but, like, that was something that I found fascinating. I was just like, this is a fascinating use of a technology. And they obviously got it right, because like I said, the game was a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been a lot of other games that have tried to kind of replicate that and use that same technology. But I feel like that was something I looked at and go, okay, there are some awesome future applications of this that we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it already in games. Go figure.
Yeah. No, I like where you're going with that, John. That seems very intuitive. Maybe it is just going to be on the phone. You know, you hold up your phone and that is going to be the augmented reality that we all live in. Yep.
Dean, what's Tech Connecting with you today?
I don't know. I'm going to live in our world here, you know, in the podcast world, because you've clued me into some other podcasts in the past. So I thought I'd bring one up to us. And only because this is one, you know, when you think about podcasts, man, some of them, it's interesting to me. So, all right. So the one I'm talking about here is, the name of the podcast is Martyr Made, and it's by Daryl Cooper, who's ex-Navy SEAL, blah, blah, blah. But what he does is he goes really deep on topics around this. And in particular, the very first one that he came out with, it was a deep dive into the whole Israeli-Palestine conflict. He had a series of them, and each podcast is like 5 hours long. All right. So this is not, yeah, exactly. It is not like your snackable little bits of information. You have to be in the mindset that you are going to get a deep dive into a particular topic. And that's one that, like, he just opened my mind to so many things that I had no idea, just the history and all that.
5 hours stuff. Isn't even nearly enough, honestly. Oh, no, what you need to
it's not, well, okay, so
it's a good start.
There are three of them, so it's maybe a total of 15 hours on that. But even that is not enough. But what I liked about it, and what I appreciate about it, is the fact that, you know, you got some podcasts going out there that are doing deeper dives on topics that, you know, that can hold your attention. And it's just, anyway. So that was Tech Connecting with me. I've kind of deep dive on some podcasts out there, John. What's connecting with you?
So it's funny. I actually shifted gears here. I had one written down, but then I had another one for a future podcast we're recording that I'm swapping because John mentioned that he is a Purdue alumni.
Yeah.
So I came across this interesting article. I'm just going to read you the headline. And I know I'm not going to explain this as well as I could, but the headline was, "Your paper notebook could become your next tablet."
Okay.
So this was some people studying at Purdue, the innovators at Purdue. It says, "Hope their new technology can help transform paper sheets from a notebook into a music player interface and make food packaging interactive." So basically, they have found a way to take paper and turn it into essentially like a tablet-like surface.
Okay.
And they do it with like very tiny little pressure sensors so you don't need electricity, you don't need a power source.
Huh.
You touching it creates the power source.
Aha, got it.
So like some examples they did is like, you know, they could like print out like a 10-key keypad, for instance.
Got it.
And it's just on a piece of paper, but it's got little sensors in it, and you could literally use that to operate a 10-key keypad. And it could be connected potentially to a computer or whatever.
Yeah.
Let you operate from there. But a couple of the examples of what they're trying to do it for was like music sheets was one thing where like you could actually like interact with the music sheet to hear the music and to kind of feel out the tone changes.
Gotcha.
And I guess even manipulate the music from the sheet.
Okay.
And then as well as packaging was a big one where I feel like this is kind of where they're heading towards finding a way to use this. So like, for instance, if you get a package from Amazon or somebody you had to sign for a package, now rather than having to sign a clipboard or sign a mobile device or something, you could literally sign the package.
The
package
is
embedded with the sensors.
Got it.
You would like just trace your finger over the package to sign it, and that would get translated then back to the company. From there.
All right.
Food packaging was another one they got into where you could, you know, touch or tap or, you know, mess with food packaging to maybe get information about nutritional values, expiration dates. It could be in some
where
way
it
maybe
came
even,
from.
Yeah,
right,
tied to the food itself and let you know, like, hey, this is probably past expiration or it's not good anymore. Just kind of one of those things I'm like, man, like I'm going to need to study up on this a little bit more, like how this works.
Okay.
But yeah, paper technology.
Okay. Where I thought you were going with the whole paper and the packaging thing, I thought it was like an origami thing. Like if you fold it like this and fold it like that, you're going to, you know, it creates this whatever packaging idea. Not that.
No. Okay. No, more about the touch aspect.
Maybe I can make $1 million coming up with that.
Maybe you could.
I got to go to Purdue, apparently.
Yeah, apparently you do. Yeah. That's where all the innovators are right now. So that one was for you, John. It was a little shout out for you there. Well, John Levin, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a great conversation. We appreciate your insight. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you. This has been great.
Thanks. So that does it for us. It is time for us to unplug. For Dean Reverman, I'm John Martin. Until next time, stay connected.
This Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Star Micronics. In hospitality, the ability to meet customer needs in a timely fashion can mean the difference between a one-star review and a lifelong champion of your brand. If unreliable Wi-Fi is slowing down your point of sale, Star is here to help with SteadyLand, integrated into their MC Print Series printers for the use with iOS devices. SteadyLand allows iPads and iPhones to directly connect to the printer via lightning cable. With the printer connected to the internet via wired Ethernet, your point of sale system no longer needs to rely on a spotty Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. As a bonus, the device will charge through the lightning cable as well.
Star's MC Print Series thermal printers are chic, compact, and economical, featuring a splash-proof design, front-loading paper, and a multitude of connectivity options, including USB, Lightning, Bluetooth, LAN, and Cloud Print. Hub functionality allows USB connections for up to three peripherals and offers HID support for easy plug-and-play connectivity of your devices. It doesn't get much more value-packed than that. For more information, contact your Blue Star representative or check out Star Micronics' website on bluestarinc.com.